Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty podcast. This is snap reactions for the tight end position for week number 7. And some interesting stuff here, and I figured I'd run down the preseason RDP and just sort of compare it to where we are on a per-game basis. So again, some of this is a little jacked because we don't, and I start right off the bat, for example, Rob Gronkowski is number 1 in terms of PPR scoring, but he's only played a handful of games. So that is a distinct difference there. So running down the top, we'll just go top 12 here in terms of RDP and talk about where they are. So number 1, the highest ranking RDP. Again, remember, RDP is based on a median, so it's not necessarily 1 through 12, but we'll just go through the top 12 in terms of median RDP. Travis Kelce is 2nd in terms of football guys, or in terms of PPR scoring there. So that's good. And that is just behind, again, he's behind Gronk, but he's played in more and made more of a difference. Kittle is 11th in terms of PPR scoring. So that is a disappointment, especially on only 4 games so far. So we'll see. He's held without a touchdown to date. So be on the watch for that. Kyle Pitts is up in the top 7 of the position. He is 5th when you consider him on a per game basis with a RDP of 2.5. So that's one where you're like, okay, that's a smashing success for a rookie tight end. So that's a really, really good number there. He's actually ahead of Waller in per game scoring. Waller's at 6 and with an RDP of 3. Hockenson is at 9 with an RDP of 5. You sort of look at the Hockenson numbers. He is, through 7 games, he has 85 PPR points. So again, he's got 38 receptions. So that actually ranks a little bit higher, all told, at the position. You know, when he gets an extra jump, if you're looking in like PPR, 2 PPR scoring, for example, he'd be up a little bit higher. Although he wouldn't move ahead of anyone above him. He would sort of elongate what's below him. For example, in straight PPR scoring, Dalton Schultz is right below him, a point below him. But Hockenson's got 7 more catches. So it would really extend out that number. So he's on pace for about just over 50 yards per game at this point, which is kind of low with what we're hoping for. We're hoping for something a little bit more than that, but he's got 359 through 4 games. And then when you look at, Dalton Schultz is right behind him and has got 359, right, in 6 games. So you actually look at it, like, it is a little bit of a disappointing number. I think there was more ceiling. We saw it early on, and now it's just not quite as much, which is somewhat disappointing because I thought he definitely had tight end 1 ceiling. Again, when you look at his numbers here over the course of the season, 53 targets so far. So he is on pace for 120 targets. So that is that's been a spot where I've seen, like, that's a pretty significant number for tight ends. And I did some work on it in the off season. If he gets to basically playing 18 games, it will be 136 targets. So he'll be well over that threshold. I think ultimately these things sort of balance themselves out. And again, when you look at the some of the scoring on a per target basis, it's actually not too dissimilar. Like, you should be a little bit higher than 1.62, but it's pretty much in line. So we're hoping you get some positive regression there with Hockenson. But I think ultimately it's going to add up. With a little luck, we should get some more on a production per target basis, for example. Mark Andrews is 3rd in PPR scoring. He was 6th in terms of RDP, so that's a really good success. And then you sort of look at that tier was always interesting, the Hockenson-Andrews-Fant tier, because then Fant comes later on, and he is 7th in terms of RDP, 10th in terms of PPR scoring. So, again, you had a couple of big spots there for Andrews, and that sort of gets him up ahead of Hockenson and Fant. So I think that's interesting. Goddard's going to be one that we'll see. You know, he's been banged up with some injuries and stuff like that. And COVID, if memory serves, he was on the COVID list for, I think, a game, maybe 2, but 14 PPR points, 8 in terms of RDP. So he's lagging that number. We'll see. This is a big chance for him without Ertz to really capitalize on some of those targets and those routes and those opportunities. Gesicki is one that I think, again, continues to outproduce. And I'm not sure what the lesson we're going to learn from Gesicki is. I mean, there's clear limitations in his game, but there's clear limitations in the Miami offense that just sort of funnels through him. So it's interesting there. He's 8th in PPR scoring at 10 RDP. And, you know, I'm actually in the midst of potentially trading for him in a spot. It doesn't make me feel sort of warm and fuzzy. That's not how I feel about the situation. But he's up at 3 in terms of scoring 37 catches on the season. Again, only 2 touchdowns, and he's not really a huge like break tackles after the catch guy, but is getting a plethora of targets. He's basically tied for 4th at the position with Andrews in receptions, behind only Kelsey and Hockenson. So it's the top 4 there, and then Fant is at 5, just ahead of Waller. Again, Waller's only played 6 games, so he's on a little bit better per game rate. But you sort of look at that and you see Gesicki really does establish himself up there in terms of the volume guys at the position. I think it's a really interesting – his is an interesting profile, because I think he's better in terms of his situation than he is maybe an outright football player, for lack of a better term. One of the bigger disappointments, obviously Irv Smith is out for the season, so that's a disappointment at 11. But one of the bigger disappointments, Evan Ingram, 22nd in terms of PPR scoring per game, 12th in terms of RDP. So we'll hope maybe to see some growth here over the second half. It's a disappointing situation altogether. All right, now let's look at so that's looking at RDP. So we'll look at, now we're going to look at the PPR scoring and sort of flip the script, right? Look at PPR scoring and then see where they were in RDP. So number one, as I mentioned, Gronkowski, he was 26th in RDP. That was a time situation. Hey, it's probably only 1 year. Again, it probably wasn't tight end one ceiling for the entire season. It's probably it too. But again, I always kind of thought that at a tight end 3 price, like, you swing that. you definitely swing that. And he's helped you a little bit. He certainly helped you in the games that he was there. And again, if you sort of just use a replacement level and stuff like that, you're way ahead at tight end because he was there for you in the early parts of the season. Again, we'll see what we get. He's played 3 games. We'll see what we get. He's got 4 touchdowns through 3 games. So that would rank him tied for 3rd at the position behind Dawson Knox and CJ Uzama. If you had those two guys as your tight end leaders through 7 weeks, good on you. But Gronkowski there with Mo Alie-Cox, Hunter Henry, Kelsey as being the tied for 3rd there, basically with 4 touchdowns apiece. Again, Kelsey's at 2. He was an RDP of 1. Andrews is at 3 in terms of per game scoring. He was an RDP of 6. Dalton Schultz, this is one of my favorite ones, is PPR points per game number 4. And he was 35th in terms of RDP. You know, he's an example of, I never understood why, and the worst part is I didn't even cash this, because it just became, it was really more curiosity than it was like I had a great, you know, insight into this. But it was, I never really understood why he was going to be behind Blake Jarwin, given the fact that Blake Jarwin is older and was coming off an injury, and like Schultz had just played, like we just saw him play. It's just, it goes against everything in Dynasty, really. So it was a really interesting situation. So I'm glad on Schultz really paying it off. Again, it's not even like I cashed a big check on that. I just didn't have it done. It was just more of a curiosity and something like, this doesn't make sense. Next time I got to make sure I pound on that price. Kyle Pitts, tight end 5, he was at 2.5 as an RDP, so paying off there. Waller, again, 6 in terms of football guys, or in terms of PPR projections, excuse me, in terms of PPR points, and 3rd in RDP. So, that's a disappointment for the sense that he hasn't played all the games, but he's been helpful when he has played. Dawson Knox, 7th in terms of per game scoring. He was 32nd in terms of RDP. He's an interesting one. I tend to be very cautious on, okay, let's draw big inferences from single sample sizes. But he's one where the changing position, coming out of college, raw, had some tools, but by all accounts, raw and changing position aspect of it was, I think, important. It almost sounds like Kadarius Toney. And I'm not going to write excuses for these guys on not being productive in college, but I think that's an interesting thing that maybe we have to give a little bit of a discount on in future years. And again, with Knox, we'll see with the hand. Like, he could just be star crossed, and yeah, hey, he's going to get hot and then he's going to get hurt. Like, it just seems like it happens every year with him. Like, it just, he can't get it on track. You know, the COVID last year, he was hurting in his first year as well. It's just a bummer. So we'll hope that he can pick this up, but you know, leading with 5 touchdowns, he just adds an element for them, but totally unproductive in college and basically didn't score a touchdown in college. And now comes out and is leading the NFL in tight ends and touchdowns. So pretty wild there. Again, I think maybe being a little bit more patient on a profile like that into the third year, especially when you're talking day 2 tight ends, probably more patient than we were, is warranted. That might be the lesson. All right, Gesicki, he's fine. Again, he's at 8 and outproducing his RDP of 10. Hockenson, again, at 9. He's got an RDP of 5, so lagging behind that. Fant, he's at 10 per game, 10th in terms of per game scoring, and 7th in RDP. Kittle, 11th in per game scoring, 2nd in terms of RDP. A big disappointment given the fact that he has not yet really played a lot. So a disappointment there. And then Hunter Henry, he's 12th in terms of per game scoring, 15th in terms of RDP. I think a couple of the other ones, when you look down, sometimes just taking the starter for the tight end position is like an acceptable option. So for example, Dawson Knox, like if you're a starter at the tight end position and you have like a decent quarterback, you're interesting. So Dalton Schultz, Dawson Knox, Hunter Henry, you know, I would put him in that category. I think Hunter Henry's a little bit different probably than some of the other guys, because if he was just the starting tight end on his own team, like, we wouldn't have thought much of it. There was enough ambiguity and lack of certainty with him that it was just tough to get him all that much higher, because you just didn't know how him and Johnny Smith was going to work. And now we know, you know, and Johnny Smith was going ahead of him for significant parts of the offseason. So it's an interesting dichotomy there between the two. But I think Hunter Henry's proven that he's the better tight end of the two so far. CJ Uzama fits in that as well. So CJ, it's CJ Uzama, Dalton Schultz, Dawson Knox, and Jared Cook, really, down there as well. All guys that sort of fit into that good quarterback, can sort of come from deep and hit. Tyler Conklin is another one. Again, he lacks the ceiling overall, but he's going at 50 and is at 19 in terms of per game scoring right now. Again, he's been more helpful in some spots, I would say, than others. Like, there's been a couple of games where he's hasn't been particularly effective, but has been usable. So, and especially like there was a couple of matchups there where he was plenty usable. So I think that formula is something that we can look at and see, like, hey, there are situations where maybe it's a lack of clarity, like a tight end two position, a wide receiver two position, or it's a high volume offense, but really an open spot, right? An open spot, 4 targets, but you're the lead tight end and you've got a good quarterback. So Conklin, Higbee to some degree, although I think he's probably a little bit different, but Jared Cook, Conklin, Uzama is another one, Dawson Knox, Dalton Schultz, that group of the position. I think that's an interesting place to look for guys that maybe aren't necessarily, you know, usually we either say depressed pedigree or we say, all-timer, right? That would be the Gronkowski candidacy, right? That candidacy. Eric Ebron obviously flopped in the pedigree discount game this year, but I think that's a third tier that maybe we should look at and spend a lot of time really thinking about for some, especially in tight end premium. I think the more we play tight end premium, the more we have to sort of look for other places and other, you know, inefficiencies to mine, because I think that's a place, especially if you're going to be able to start guys in the flex, identifying tight ends from deeper down that can be helpful is certainly going to move the needle. I do also want to take a look at some of the expected points per game. So Travis Kelce coming in first, 18.2 PPR points per game expected, and performing just about a point over that. So a good performance there for him. Waller at 16.8 comes in second. He's a little bit under, so 1.6 points per game under expectation. Gronkowski coming in third, 16.3. What an embarrassment of riches. I was just thinking about this, and I heard someone talking about it yesterday, and it's pretty amazing. Think of the fact that a team has lost Rob Gronkowski and Antonio Brown, who Gronkowski definitely – Brown, I'm not sure – Gronkowski most assuredly is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Antonio Brown would have been if he had stayed clean. Might still be a Hall of Famer. I haven't kept up on the resume aspect of it, but that sphere of player. Tampa has lost two of them. It is still one of the best offenses in the league. Just incredible, given how what an embarrassment of riches that they have. So Gronkowski third in terms of PPR points per game expected, and is overperforming it by 4.5 points. So pretty wild there in terms of his expectation. Kyle Pitts, 15.1, 15.3 is what he's scoring. So right on expectation. Andrews, fifth in terms of expectation at 15 points per game, 16.5, so overproducing it. That's good. Hockenson, sixth in terms of expected points per game at 14. Again, these are just straight PPR scoring there in terms of the expectation. He's at 13.6. Kittle, 13.4 in terms of expectation, 11.8, so just over a point and a half under expectation. Fant, 13.3 and 13.3, right on expectation. And it's pretty close in terms of, like, just right across the board, like pretty even on yards and touchdowns and everything. No real disparity or anything there. That was Fant. Gesicki, get my numbers crossed here in terms of the ordering of things. Gesicki, 13.2. Again, he comes in ninth in terms of expectation, 14.4, just over expectation. So some of the limitations, it's interesting, some of the limitations you have about him and some of the concerns that I would have about him are like yak and stuff like that, but he's overproducing his expected catches by four. And again, that puts him over expectation in terms of yards, even though he's probably getting under expectation of what you would expect in terms of yards per catch. So an interesting sort of dichotomy there for him. Dalton Schultz, 10th in terms of 12.2 points per game expectation. He's at 15.5. Again, it's across the board. He's up. He's up in terms of catches. He's five catches over expectation, almost 100 yards over expectation, and a little over half a touchdown. So it's not something I necessarily worry about a ton of regression on, because it would be a really regression sign if it was like multiple touchdowns over expectation. For example, there isn't a great one really at the tight end position. You could say Pitts is a couple touchdowns under expectation. Like that would be one that you would hope to come back. Dawson Knox is a couple over. That's one up at the top of the board. You know, CJ Uzama, for example, is a really good one. His five touchdowns, he has 0.7 expected on the season. Like he's living real clean, living real good. Not so much the case for Dalton Schultz. You know, he's just overperforming across the board, and that's a pretty good sign. Jared Cook, right about at expectation. He's at 10.9. It's a pretty significant drop-off as these things go, basically between 10 and 11. It's over a point in terms of drop-off, and it was a point above them too. So the difference between like 9, for example, 9 and 11, it ends up being 2.5 points per game expected. So you do see a little bit of the differences there. And then you sort of go up, and that's up into the real elite positions is another 2.5 points up. So that is a pretty steep gap there as they fall. So some interesting stuff there. And with all of that, I think if you're looking over the past like couple of weeks or so in terms of potential opportunities, it's Ricky Seals-Jones. He's the one that really sticks out to me. Through four games over the last 4 weeks, 17 expected catches, 17 catches. That's seventh at the position in terms of expectation. That's pretty valuable. Again, he's under touchdown expectation by a touchdown, 1.7 touchdowns. So you look at that and you're saying, okay, like he's probably on pace for a little bit more than he's producing. He's on pace for 13.1 points per game. Over that time span, that is 10th at the position. So, again, I think that's one you can potentially look at and say, maybe there's brighter days to come. We'll see how long Logan Thomas is out. But I think that position, that role in that offense is still valuable. I think that's the key there. Cole Kmet is 13th at the position in terms of expectation over the past month, 4 weeks there. He's 41 yards under expectation, so he's expected for 161.9. He's at 120. So that's just a name that, like, I've been thinking about quite a bit. He's 10th in terms of expected yards over the past four games. So not a huge, again, and there's some guys with three mixed in there, so on a per-game basis a little bit later, but you know, just glancing at the top-line number, it's actually not a horrible role. However, he's underproducing it, and he's not scoring any touchdowns. So that's a disappointment there pretty much all around. A couple other expectation ones that I think are interesting to look at. Evan Engram, he's expected for 16.9 receptions over the past 4 weeks. That is good for eighth at the position. He is at 18 receptions. So he's right at expectations in terms of yards and expected yards. He's basically 10 yards under expectation. So you could say like he's underdoing what he probably should do from a per target basis, but as you sort of blend it together, it works out. He's just at that pace, except for the touchdowns, where it's, you know, you'd hope for that he had scored, but again, it's less than a half a touchdown expectation over that time span. So not a huge, huge difference there. So we'll see, you know, maybe going forward, he has a bigger opportunity and can potentially cash in on it. But 11th in terms of expected points total over that time. And in terms of points per game over the past four games, he's his 15th. So firmly on that wide receiver, that tight end two range. Other guys up there in expected points over the past 4 weeks, Mo Ali Cox is at 17th. I think he's a name to potentially watch here going forward. He has basically 8.9 expected receptions. He has 10 receptions total, four of them for touchdowns. So when you look at his expectation, he's like top two or three at the position in terms of expected touchdowns over the past month, just from where they're coming. Tyler Conklin has cooled down just a little bit here. It's only three games, but he's basically got nine receptions in the past three games, so cooling down a bit. And Jonnu Smith, again, he's been pretty disappointing. 7.8 expected points here over the past month, and that is good for tight end 25. So a disappointment there. Uzama down there Tanyan down there at 27. By way of reference, CJ Uzama, 6.8 expected points per game, 17 total points per game over the past 4 weeks. So if you want to see what regression looks like, it's going to look like what I would assume is going to happen to CJ Uzama. So if you can sell high, by all means, but don't buy into it being a buy high type scenario. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.